push this and switch that and push this over there and push that button. And then look right there. It's the news, according to me. Here we are. It is Friday. The week is almost over. We have Friday, August 21st, 7:33 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. 2026 is the year, and we are here in this year, in your ear. There we are. I assume you have headphones on, or ear things, or those little things that people put in their ears. I'm assuming that we have Financial Friday is right here with us. We have, that's what we got going on right now. Financial Friday. We always talk about finances on Friday. Our financial stuff, not personal finances necessarily, but just the financial stuff that's out there. That's kind of what we do. We have a few things to talk about today. We got the bots on today. They're going to be asking some questions, and I think that's going to work. I think we have. There was a little kitty over here. I got a little chair over here. She sits on the little chair over here. She watches me. We are so close to being ready to do video now with the podcast, and I'm not sure exactly where it's going to live. Probably going to be on Rumble for the news, according to me. I've got a couple other shows I'm doing. I'm going to start doing. I got to get them all set up. A lot of it's the setup and just getting things going, getting things ready. And I barely have time to do the shows really on a regular basis, let alone get all the back end stuff ready to go. And then having video set up, it takes about three times more to get things ready to go. And I've been trying to, in fact, I've tried to work on an app that would do it a better job of. But I kind of think maybe I'm wasting my time on that. It's not been as easy to get that fixed up as I thought. I was going to try to create an interface to do something. There's something called OBS. I'm not sure what it stands for, but it's OBS is a little program that it's an open source free program that you can use for doing. A lot of people use it. There's a free version. There's a paid version too, but there's a free version you can do all kinds of video stuff with, and you can do live streaming as well as recording and stuff. It's a kind of a switcher, because it switches cameras around. You can plug all kinds of cameras in. You can do setup scenes. You can do picture in a picture, all that kind of stuff, lower thirds and video. You browser screens and stuff like that. So it's one of those things. But however, it is a little bit clunky. It's kind of difficult, and it's gotten better than it used to be. But I used to use vMix because vMix was so much more powerful and it was so much easier to use. I mean, what you could do with it was incredible. But this is kind of going down the road of trying to set this thing up and making it work. Has become, needless to say, a little bit of a hassle. Trying to get an interface made that was agentic, so you could just tell the agent what you wanted to do, set up a screen with picture in a picture with me and the camera one here in the corner, and then camera, the main camera, overlaid on the top of another thing or whatever, just making the agent do all that stuff. So I could just tell it what to do, or set up these scenes and set up different profiles. But it's been more work doing that than I would probably spend in a month just doing it myself. So not a good idea. We have callers calling in today. I don't know what they're going to ask. There's probably stuff about the who knows what. But we got few things going on. In the background, you might hear a little ticking sound. Maybe. We got our reverse osmosis system. I don't have a door in this particular booth that I'm in. However, that's something else that's going to change within the next couple of weeks. I've got almost week one of my vacation time is down, which means we get, I'm a third, I'm a fourth of the way, 25% through my vacation already, and I don't feel like I haven't even started rolling yet. So gotta get aggressive with that. We're taking off on Monday to go do some camping, so I'm not even going to be around next week. Hopefully get some other things done. online, but it's just going to be a chance to just kind of disengage from everything and just kind of relax a little bit. For me, anyway. And kind of get my mind off all of some of this other stuff and maybe reset some priorities, kind of get some things kind of in line and kind of get things, you know, whatever. Anyway, so I got my chai here with me, and it's still hot, by the way. I didn't have any technical issues this morning. I have my backup cup with freshly brewed sweet peach tea. I think I did it. Was that yesterday? Day before. It was day before. I can tell by just by tasting it. I can tell. Yeah, the peaches are coming through pretty well. It's good stuff. They weren't fresh peaches, but they were frozen peaches. But they were real peaches. They did a pretty good job. Nothing beats the fresh peaches cut up and just thrown in there. Freshly ripened peaches, or pizza tea would be fine too with me. I'd be okay with me, pizza or peaches, whichever one. Or peaches on pizza might be good with sweet tea to wash it down with. Anything with sweet tea is typically good. I would probably eat chocolate covered ants with sweet tea. As long as the sweet tea is good. In fact, I pick my restaurants based on that. Kind of drives my wife nuts because she likes to go places that don't necessarily serve sweet tea or any good sweet tea. And it's kind of why that's where I go. That's what I do. I do sweet tea. I can eat pretty much anything based on that. I'm in a rut. I have a little ditty to play here. We're going to get into the show soon, very soon, with the bots. We're just going to start. Just going to dive right into it. They ask me questions I don't know anything about usually. And then I just start making stuff up. A little kitty ran away. Where did she go? She went somewhere. Yeah, one of the reasons I mentioned the kitty and mentioned the video thing is because we're gonna have a kitty cam here. I'm gonna set up a cam so that when the kitty comes around the corner, we can watch the cat. But the that's what we got going on. So there we go. Let's what are we doing? What are we doing here? I'm gonna play this and we'll be back in a couple of seconds. Just go ahead and freshen up your cup or whatever you're doing there. Go to the potty. Whatever you need to do after the next minute. Just gonna bust right in here with this tune.
I got opinions, and I'll share them every week. Pull up a chair, you're welcome here. This ain't no lecture seat. I've done my reading, done my thinking, had a cup or two, but I'm not your doctor, honey, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm definitely not your financial advisor. This is just me talking, just a voice on a show. Take it or leave it, baby, that's all I know. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, so don't go calling up your news crew. Dum, bum, 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 bum. I might say something that sounds real official, like, and sure I've read a book or two, so sometimes I sound bright. But when it comes to your money or your health or your legal woes, please see a professional. I'm just a voice in your radio. Bum, 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 bum. I'm not liable, not responsible, not the final word, but I'm still here every week in case you haven't heard. Talk to your accountant, call your doctor, find a lawyer too, and after all that,
hey, come back, I'll enter.
That's what we do here. We do nothing. We're just there to entertain you. Is all we're here to do. We have a couple things going on here. We got the bots. The bots doing their thing. We're gonna go ahead and I don't know where to go here. Let's start with Chloe. Let's see what kind of mess she's gotten herself into here. We're gonna. We're just going to jump right in as I'm sipping on my stuff.
Oh my gosh, Kevin. Hi. So, like, I was at Whole Foods yesterday, and literally everything is so expensive still. My grocery bill was like $200 for basics. And then I see Biden, I mean, whoever's president now, saying the economy is great. Am I the only one who feels totally gaslit right now? How are regular people supposed to survive these prices?
Okay, obviously, maybe you're just looking at information that's a couple years old. It really makes me question how much you know what you're doing over there, Chloe. When you think Biden's president, Biden hasn't been president. Well, it's questionable whether Biden was ever president. It's because I'm not sure he knows he was president. It's been almost a couple of years now. We've got, I think we're on, you know, what is it, month 20 or something like that of this president. Just newsflash, President Trump won the election, last election. He's president again. Trump is president. Which makes me wonder if your you know, observations of the economy were actually real. Now, granted, you didn't come up with this question. There was a different AI agent that stuck these words in your mouth. I realize that. So how do you feel about someone giving you that little script to read there and kind of making you look silly? How do you feel about that this morning? So let's see what she has to say about that. Go ahead, Chloe.
Okay, wait. I'm literally dying. You got me. I totally blanked on who's actually in office right now. That's embarrassing. My bad. But honestly, the grocery prices hit different regardless of who's running things. And everyone on Twitter and TikTok has been complaining about inflation for like forever. So I know I'm not tripping. How are you feeling about the economy situation right now?
Well, that's a good question. How am I feeling about it? It really, my feelings don't really matter. But I guess, to some extent, they're, you know, I have feelings. I'll share my feelings with you. Not that they matter, but I'll share them anyway, just because my feelings are valid because I feel them. And thank you for validating my feelings. I have a lot of thoughts about it. You know, life is tough, okay? It's just not easy. The economy, you know, I read this down here, I know you're going to repeat all this back to me, so I got to be careful what I say. You read the story about the prodigal son who, you know, ran away and all of a sudden famine came in the land. In other words, you know, when he had all his money, you know, he had all his inheritance, he was spending it like crazy. There was probably a famine then, he didn't know it. The famine came into the land. In other words, he ran out of money. All of a sudden, the economy was bad. This is not affordable. It's not affordable economy here. Yeah, it's because you were out blowing cash like it was growing on trees. And when you ran out of money, all your friends went away. You thought you had friends. They weren't friends. They were only there for your money. And the partying and the good times you were having. Once that dried up, you found yourself out there with the pigs and eating their food. Or attempted to eat their food, whatever. I don't know whether you're, you know. Kind of came to the end of yourself at that point. This is kind of the mentality of most people, is when they get a bunch of money, they blow it thinking, oh, look at all the money I got. Oh, yeah, I'm a big shot now. I'm going to go out there and blow all this money. I'm going to spend it all on stuff. I'm going to live. I'm going to go out. I'm going to take an airplane. I'm going to take one of their jet airplanes. And when I get on that airplane, I want to act like I own the place. I've seen this happen many times. People who think that I'm on an airplane and I paid good money for my ticket. And I own this whole thing, and you all work for me. This is my airline now. There's one time I was sitting in the captain's seat after a flight. We had gone through a lot that day to get people to Chicago. I'll tell the whole story after I hear what you have to say again. I'm gonna hit listen to your little comment. I'm gonna put you back on again and let you respond so far to what I've said. Then I'm gonna tell the story. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go. Yeah.
I hear you.
Okay.
That prodigal son parable hits hard because it's literally about blowing your money and then getting humbled when reality catches up.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
The whole fake friends disappear when the money does thing is so real. And honestly, you're describing what we see all the time on social media, where people flex hard, then vanish when the clout runs out. But real talk, the economy thing isn't just about personal spending choices. It's way more complex than just people need to stop being reckless, you know?
To some degree, I will agree with you on that. There are some people who are very frugal, live very carefully, and yet they're still struggling to get by. I get it. It's the folks that think that they somehow are entitled to an Xbox or a $1,500 cell phone and a, you know, $300 a month plan or a $900 a month car payment and then wonder why they can't get by. When they live to the edge of everything. Well, I make $1,000 a week. And I spend $999 of it on payments. And my fun time I put on my credit card because I'm hoping that when my ship comes in, I can pay that off. People living beyond their means and then complaining because, oh, everything's so expensive. It's so expensive. It's so expensive. I can't afford it. I can't afford this. Oh, I'm going to debt. The government needs to do something about it. Oh, it's Donald Trump's fault. It's not Donald Trump's fault. That's what bothers me, is when people start blaming others because they didn't plan for a financial downturn. Economically, we are not, I mean, we are in better shape now than we were 4 years ago. If you just look back at that, as a country in terms of GDP and everything else, it's... But people are still, of course, inflation has not, you know, gone away. I've always talked about this. I've always mentioned this, the whole thing about how, in my opinion, we need to have a deflationary period. If you want to bring back the value of the dollar, the only way to do that is through deflation. And deflation is a very tricky thing. People lose during deflation, but people also lose during inflation. And that's what, where it's kind of a tricky situation. To have an economic balance in a deflationary period. It's just, I'm not smart enough to do that. One guy I think who is Besant. I think he could make it happen. I personally think it's probably, it's in the mix, I think, right now. I think what he's doing, he's playing the long game in what he's setting America up to be. And I think that this is going to be something bigger than what we... I think I'm going to look back on this in 10 years and say, you know, this was the... When I look back at the Ronald Reagan era, economically, and now you can just look at Reagan's track record just by itself and say, well, he didn't do that much. When you look at where we were under Carter and where we were headed under Carter, that was not going to... If Carter would have gotten back into election, he was a one-termer. If he'd have gotten back into election, been elected again in 1980... The nation would probably have never overcome the Soviet Union. Never. I'm saying not an extended period of time. I'm saying it would never have happened. It was so close to the Soviets basically being able to overrun. You know, the Soviet Union would probably still be intact anyway. Put it that way. The Soviet Union broke up because of the policies under Reagan. And economically, you know, the house was still run by Democrats back then, and so it was a very difficult situation for Ronald Reagan to be able to do what he did. And he was able to bring back the economy. Now part of that was because of an economic cycle. There's a whole lot of other things involved. But again, just because of who's in office doesn't mean that the price of your bread's going to go up necessarily. Now, under Carter, that was happening. He was directly influenced. His policies were directly influencing the price of everything. It was, you know, everything from fuel to sugar, meat, milk, peanuts. I can't even remember all the different shortages we had, all the different issues we had of things, prices going up on everything. Candy bars went from 10 cents a candy bar to a dollar almost under Carter. It was just a crazy time. So I think that we have another situation here where we have, but you know, looking back on this, I think what history will tell us. Now, of course, they're trying to rewrite history already. The Democrats try to rewrite history the day after it happens. Now, I want to tell you this little story about when I was on an airplane once. I had this guy comes up. We were sitting in a little town. It was only about a 5 minute flight from there to Chicago. And we were having, it was a terrible day. Chicago was having terrible weather. They were delayed like crazy. Took us an hour before the airplane was even ready to start boarding. We're an hour past our departure time before we even started boarding the airplane. It was extremely cold in the area where we were. Very cold. There was snow on the airplane, had to be de-iced. So finally, we get out to the airplane, get everybody boarded up, and then, of course, we find out that apparently another different airline, had spun out on one of the runways in Chicago on landing, and actually, it was basically, they crashed. They went off the runway and collapsed one of their gear and kind of spun out. They had to evacuate. The situation closed down the airport for a while, and then, of course, closed down that one runway, and that was the one runway they had open with all the snow blowing everywhere, whatever was going on. And so that shut things down for a while till they get another runway opened up and kind of get traffic flowing again. So they had everybody on ground stop. This is what we were already boarded up, and we were getting ready to start get pushed back, get the de-icing process going. I think they delayed it for, they put a four-hour ground stop on everything. So we're waiting again, and I think we're supposed to leave like 6:30 that morning, and now here it is, it's like 9 o'clock in the morning. And of course, people are dumping off the flight because they were going to miss their connections anyway, and all this stuff. They were trying to get rerouted. So we ended up with fewer people on the airplane. Well, then of course, then you end up with more people on the airplane. We deplaned for a while, and then we got everybody back on the plane. Of course, now there's other flights that are, there people are showing up to do the next flight, and they're jumping onto this one because they want to get there sooner. So plane fills up again. We get filled up. We get everybody on board the airplane. We're thinking that they're going to drop the ground stop sooner than later. So we're back out there. We start getting we get pulled away or pushed back, I guess, to this place where we're supposed to get de-iced. So we get pushed back in this location. They bring over the truck. They start the process. Now the time on you have a set time that the de-icing or the anti-icing process will work. So as soon as they start the anti-icing process, so say they started at 7, at the top of the hour, it takes them 15 minutes to do it. It's not when they end; it's when they started doing the anti-icing process. That's when your holdover, what's called a holdover time, starts. So you have a chart that you look at the temperature and the conditions, and whatever that particular brand of de-icing fluid is that they put on there. They might spray it on, takes them 15 minutes or so. They spray that on, and it might last for 45 minutes, or it might last for an hour, or whatever it is, and under the specific conditions, depending on temperature and the snow conditions. So you're looking at that chart, and you're saying, okay, they started it at top of the hour, and so we're doing all this stuff. What ends up happening is they put this, they started putting the de-icing, they de-ice it first, which is a hot glycol solution that cleans the airplane. And then they put this anti-icing fluid on. that kind of sticks to the airplane, and it just kind of creates this, it kind of keeps the snow from, or any ice from forming on the wings. And that goes on cold. So they start spraying that on, and they realize their truck is broken. And so now they've got to start the whole process over, and they got about halfway through, and the truck broke. Or they ran. Yeah, they ran out of fluid. I guess they ran out of fluid. So they went to get the other truck. They had two trucks there. That truck wouldn't start. So now we're stuck there again. So now it takes us about an hour and a half to get, because they had to refill the other one. They had to pump everything over to the other truck, and it was kind of crazy. So they ended up getting this all done. Now we're an hour and four, it was almost 2 hours beyond our actual second loading time. So now it's getting close to 11 o'clock. This is a 6 o'clock flight. We're supposed to leave or something, some early morning flight. Finally get everybody on board. Everything's ready to go. We get going and finally take off. They open up the airport again. We're cleared to go. Take off, get to Chicago. Of course, the weather in Chicago is starting to open up. It actually looks like a pretty nice day there, actually, when we get there. So it's, of course, passengers are like, well, the weather's not bad here. That's what, you know, people always look at that. Now, and I'm making announcements, but I'm basically telling them what I know. When I know something, I tell them. And otherwise, I don't know what to tell them. I can't tell you anything new. I'm not going to just sit there and keep repeating the same thing. Some people like that, but I don't do that. So I just would wait till the next thing would happen, and I would say, that truck's broke, so I didn't make that announcement. And then the next one, they have to transfer the fuel over, or the fluid over now, so now we're going to get things cleaned off, now we're going to go, now they've lifted the ground stop, whatever it's been. Now, we're busy up there. We got a lot going on, and we don't have real time. And letting them know isn't going to change our situation. It's only going to slow us down, because now I got to talk about it. So we get going. Well, that's good tea. We get going, and it just makes the story that much better. We blast off, go to Chicago. We get in there. The first officer's flying. The co-pilot's flying. So he's doing, it's his leg. We're coming down. Somebody in front of us didn't get off the runway, and we're coming in, and we're about 400 feet off the ground. They're still on the runway. This is not a good situation. And it's not like they're, we probably could have landed and stopped before we even got to them, before where they kept missing all their turnoffs. It was some amateur. So we get down there. I think we're about 300 feet above the ground. And finally the tower says, so-and-so go around. So, okay, we're going around. So now we have to go around. They give us a different runway. So now we got to set up for a different runway. We're doing all this stuff, getting busy, make an announcement about it. Tell the flight attendants what's going on. Your flight attendant, attendants, whatever, about what's going on. And, make an announcement to the passengers, and we just had to go around because plane on the runway, whatever. Come back around. We get on the ground. We finally land, and now we got a taxi. Now we're taxiing around. Now they had an issue with one of the taxiways. This happens. I don't know why. It seems like it's always on one particular airline. There was a patch of ice on the taxiway, and they didn't want to taxi onto it because they were afraid they would lose steering the taxis across. They wouldn't taxi on that area. Okay, whatever. So we have, so they got this whole area that they're bringing these cleaning trucks in to clean this area off. And it backs up everybody on the one side of the area that would have made us the shortest route around to where we need to go. And of course, everything's blocking where we need to get in to go to our gate. So they put us in a holding box for a while. So I told them, yeah, there's taxiway issues. We can't get in. There's taxiway stuff going on. We go back around. I think we waited there like 25 minutes. Go back around the other way. They put us through the other direction. Of course, now we're waiting in line on that side because everybody wants to do that. So we're all going on that side. Finally get to our gate. Got everybody there. It's probably 1 o'clock in the afternoon by this point. Get up there. Some fella pushes his way up. He's one of the last people off the plane. He pushes his way up into the door of the cockpit there, the flight deck. And he says, I am never flying this airline ever again. I can't believe you guys did all this stuff and never made any announcements and let us know what was going on. Blah, 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 blah. I didn't look back. I didn't look at him. Didn't nothing. I just sat there. All I wanted to say was, I guess you need to buy your own airplane and hire your own pilots and have them fly you around. You can tell them what to do. That's what I wanted to say. The guy thought he was a big shot, thought he was, go ahead. I said, you know, go ahead and talk to customer service or whatever you got to do. I think all I said was, thanks, sir. Thank you, sir. I guess pretty much all I said. It wasn't any thanks for what we had just gone through and everything, all the hard work we had done to get them to Chicago. Not a bit of gratitude in his, you know. Now, if he would have prefaced it even, just was saying, you know, I appreciate all the work you guys did, but it would have been really helpful if you guys would have made some announcements to let us know what was going on so we could, you know, inform people on the other end of what was happening or, you know, so make plans or what. We don't even know what's going on. We didn't know we were going to go around. We didn't know there's going to be a broken truck. We didn't know this. We didn't know all this stuff was going to happen. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't know how that's going to change your situation because we're not going to let you off the airplane. We've got a lot of other people here that are not just going to, oh, now we're going to return to the gate because of you. That's not going to happen unless it's legally obligated to for some reason. And that's not a decision we make, by the way. That's a decision that the dispatchers have to make. We can request it. We can say, hey, can we just go back? We got people who want to go back to the gate. Should we go back to the gate? They make that decision. But that's not a decision the pilots make anymore. It used to be. That isn't anymore. We are merely the puppets up there in the flight deck. So they have this guy just goes on about that, and it reminded me so much of just people just who are so entitled and who think that they're so much bigger than they are. If you're that much of a big shot, if you're that much of if you think you need to be informed by everything that's going on because letting that guy know what was going on would not have changed our situation whatsoever. It doesn't change the situation. Might change his situation, but guess what? Us taking the time to let you know is only going to delay things that much more because we're, you know, busy talking on, we got two different frequencies up there. We're talking on the people to the ground operations. We got the ice de-icing people. We got controllers. They're giving us reroutes. They're giving us updates from ATC. All this stuff is going on and it's very difficult. And while somebody's back there making an announcement, something else is going on and you miss it. So it's one of those things that we'll inform you when it's practical. That's not the highest thing on our priority list up there. Now, there are some crews that just keep the passengers in the dark and don't care. They forget that there's passengers back there. That always bothered me when I was an instructor in the airline a while back. I would always, you know, especially when I was doing captain upgrades, I'm like, don't forget there are people back there. Keep them informed. Let me, keep in mind that what you think is turbulence and tolerable, it may not be tolerable for some. There's a lot of people back there. It's their first time flying. I almost remember the faces of everybody who got off of an airplane and would look at me and say, I'm a first time flyer and you made it. You know, you really made it comfortable. I wasn't scared. Or they would say that they're a nervous flyer, and they were. You know, they really appreciated the flight. I can't tell you how many times I almost remember their faces by that, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, enough said. Let's go on to Ellen is right here at the top. There she goes. Let's see what she has to say.
Kevin,
yes.
Greetings from a history buff.
Oh, yes.
I've been comparing our current fiscal situation to the 1970s stagflation era, and there are troubling parallels. Persistent inflation, declining productivity growth, and massive government spending. Back then, it took Volcker's tough medicine and Reagan's tax cuts to fix it.
Yeah.
Do you think we're headed for a similar reckoning, or have we learned nothing from that decade?
Well, it's interesting. I was just talking about this. The 70s, Carter, of course, was Carter administration and his philosophy, some of the things he did policy-wise with farmers and everything else that was going on at the time, you know, sort of government set aside stuff and all that stuff that was going on, really did influence and made a huge... I think what we have now is it's kind of an inflex backwards thing. I think that what we're seeing is feeling is an echo from the Biden administration. Now, maybe I'm biased on this thought. I don't know. I do believe we're seeing kind of a caboose effect with the economy in terms of, we still have inflation and all that stuff that's going on. However, I see a way out of this. I guess I just don't see the, I guess I see what I see coming up is going to be a true growth time. Some of the most recent numbers, in my opinion, are when we should be seeing a downturn, we're seeing a level off in many respects. And I guess that's kind of where I leave this is kind of, it's a, if you look at the really current numbers in terms of, you know, just in the last 30 days, there are some very hopeful signs that that the economy is coming back to life. And I guess maybe I'm not looking at it right or something. I don't know. That's just the way I kind of see it. What say you on this whole thing? Let's see what your actual response is here.
You know, that caboose effect is a great way to put it. We're still feeling the momentum from the shock, but you're right that stabilization isn't the same as the hard reset Volcker had to impose back then.
Yeah.
The difference is we actually have some historical perspective now, and the market's been pricing in expectations differently than in the 70s when nobody saw inflation coming. That said, I'm cautious about reading too much hope into 30 days of data when we've got structural issues. Walmart's already warning about consumer weakness, and those tariff impacts you mentioned aren't fully baked in yet. So we might be looking at a lag before we see what that growth actually looks like.
Yeah, I wouldn't hang too much authority on Walmart. There's interesting things happening right now economically, and I think it's just going to be a matter. One thing specifically, and I know that this is, I always kind of get back, we're an oil-based economy, and in my opinion, if the fuel prices come down, which I believe they're going to do inevitably, they've got to come down. That's just a matter of time. I think it's going to happen. You know, I look for it to happen. Right around the middle of September, we're going to see kind of a drastic drop in fuel prices. This is just my opinion. We'll see what happens with it, but I really do think that that's where we're going to see the difference, the changes. Now, having said that, I don't know. There's nothing. What is this? I just got to know. I don't know what that is. It's just my opinion here. Again, this is just what I'm seeing. I believe we're going to see a huge shift right around the middle of September. Now, I don't know. That's just kind of my aggregate gut feeling. So that's all it is. It's not based on numbers. It's not based on anything at all. It is just what I'm seeing. My history with watching the economy, knowing how seasonally things happen. And what happens during that particular time of the year. That's kind of where I'm at with it. Now, maybe it's just that my financial situation is going to change. I don't know, folks. Don't base anything I'm saying on anything I know. We might just go into a deep depression and never return. I don't know. It could be entering a black hole. I'm going to leave it there. Let's go to Artie. I don't know what. Let's go to Leonard. Let's go to Leonard. I'm going to save Artie for last. Let's see what Leonard has to say. He's always kind of
Kevin, my man.
Yes.
Tell
me something real.
Everyone's celebrating this strong economy, but when you actually look at the numbers,
oh, here we go.
Real wages are still down
compared
to 2020 when you adjust for inflation.
Yeah.
Credit card debt just hit another
record
high.
Yeah.
So, my question is, are we really in a recovery? Or are people just living on borrowed time and borrowed money?
Well, you're hitting on something real here. I've got to push back on something. Let's see what else he says, but what I'm response here. I think you're right. There is some questionable stuff going on. People are definitely... They're definitely into the credit card debt thing. It's and the interest rates on credit cards blow me away that they can get. I think Trump tried to introduce legislation that would mandatorily make credit cards 10%. I think credit cards right now are like they can be up to 20% or some ridiculous. Maybe there isn't any regulatory rate on the thing. I don't know, but I've just heard of like 20% APR or some ridiculous thing, which is crazy. I don't understand how people can carry a balance like that and diminish what you know, did you really buy something that you needed that bad? I guess it's just in my opinion. Now, I've been a kid, I've been younger, I've been in that situation where I didn't have any savings. I didn't have, I was kind of living, hand to mouth kind of thing, check paycheck to paycheck, as they say. I get it but I looking back at those times, there were still things I was buying that I didn't need. I didn't need them. I felt like I needed them. Didn't need them. It's just one of those things where you have to, understand the basis of, okay, am I putting money into something that's going to make me money? What's the return on my investment here? That's what you, and nobody looks at that. They just see it as, well, I need to have this because that way I feel better about myself. Pulling up in a new car. A car is one of those things, Dave Ramsey says, it's not, you don't buy it for how it makes you feel. You buy it for how it makes you feel when other people look at you. How it makes them, how you perceive them to feel about you when you pull up in it. There's a lot of that going on. Now people live beyond their means all the time because they feel like, well, everybody else has this. I need to have this too. And of course, Ramsey always says you don't live like no one else. So when at some point you will live like no one else. So it's kind of this delayed gratification thing that we have to understand. And it's think about the dollars you're spending. Is it really an investment on something that, or do you have disposable cash, as they call it? I mean, you got to live your life. You got to go. You got to live. You got to do some living. It's no way around. And I get that. I think economically, people are just in a point where they don't want to tighten their belts. They don't want to step back for a moment. A lot of people have these high dollar car payments that they got themselves into. And it's a lot of this COVID kind of threw a whole monkey wrench into this whole thing as well. People were buying, car dealers were trying to unload cars. People weren't buying. People were, we go through these weird things where they do all kinds of incentives things to get people to buy stuff. And they start approving people for loans that shouldn't have loans. And then you get all this stuff starts to get, it just becomes a mess and it needs to be straightened out. So I think there's corrections going on, I think, in different sectors of our economy, different sectors of our society even. And so I think it's just that's what's happening. And I don't know how it's all going to wash out. I really don't. It's a question. It is a good question to ask. I think that you're asking the right questions. There are people out there who are hurting, but there are also people who are out there making a whole lot of money, even now, doing very well in this economy. So it's a strange mix of things. And of course, what we usually see is that the middle class gets ripped apart. Now you have a greater divide between the upper middle class and the lower middle class, and whether or not the middle class is even going to survive any of this. A lot of it has to do with, policies that people are trying to implement anyway. I'll let you go ahead and tell me something real here. You're hitting on something real. See what you have to say.
Now, hold on. You're asking the right question, but let me be straight with you.
Okay.
Real wages flat or down while credit card rates hit 20%.
Yeah.
That's not recovery. That's a house of cards. And we've seen this picture before.
No, using
people
them as
aren't
a house of
celebrating
cards.
Because no. Things are good. They're spending because they're scared. And when those easy credit lines dry up, that's when the correction you mentioned really gets ugly.
Spending because they're scared. They're spending because they're scared. Nothing you said there made sense there, Leonard. Leonard might be, I've hung up on Leonard. He can't hear me now. Leonard might be setting up a show with Skip here very soon. Maybe some changes in the panel discussions here. We have. I'm curious. I'd like to try a panel discussion. I can't get the panel thing to come back up again. It went down. I can't find the right place to go back to get it to set up to go to do its thing. It's just not doing it. I don't know why. We have, who haven't we talked? Oh, Artie. Let's just go to Artie. Get this out of the way. Let Artie go ahead and speak. Go ahead and speak, Artie.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Love the show.
I know you do.
Quick technical question. I've been digging into the latest Fed balance sheet data and noticed they're still sitting on over $7 trillion in assets. With inflation stubbornly hovering around 3%, shouldn't they be accelerating quantitative tightening instead of just letting bonds roll off naturally? The math doesn't add up for a soft landing.
You're kind of talking way over my head there with that, some of that stuff. My understanding was inflation went below 3%. Maybe am I the last quarter report? I thought it was way below that. I got some wrong information on that one. The $7 trillion in assets, all this whole thing, I think that this, what this is happening is here, there's a big wrestling match going on between the Fed and the Treasury Secretary. The Fed, of course, wants to protect themselves and wants to try to pretend like they're the ones in charge. I don't think the Fed is reading this right. Now, I'm not on the Fed board. I'm not as smart as those people are. But I will say this. There are some things that they do that are sometimes, they knowingly do things that I think are meant to control the economy in ways that are not necessarily best for the country. They're best for their bank because the Fed is not a independent bank. It's not a part of the government. It is an independent bank. It is a contracted bank, if you will, to handle our funds. All of our money is debt, if you look at it that way. I hear people make that statement. It is true, but it's hard to explain without understanding that all government issued funds are issued by bonds. The whole thing. You just have to go through the whole process of where money is created from. They don't just print it. It's printed to pay off the bond. It's the Federal Reserve is in charge of it all, and it's not federal, and there's no reserves. It's a name on a bank that is a cartel that is basically contracted with the government to make our money system work. It's really screwy. It works, but it's very they can do nefarious. There are some things that they do that are self-centered in terms of their responses on things. And this is, I think we're in one of those moments right now. I think the Fed is not doing what's best for the country, in my opinion. They're doing what's best for their pocketbook, in my opinion. That's my opinion, anyway. It's difficult to explain because it's complicated. Now, even what you said there, I think.
Look, technically speaking, on the inflation piece, you're actually right to be confused. Uh-huh. The latest data came in around 2.9%, depending on whether you're looking at CPI or PCE. So, yeah, you weren't wrong there.
Yeah, well, the
on
TRI,
the Fed's balance sheet and QT, here's what's interesting. The Fed minutes show officials are genuinely concerned about inflation not cooling fast enough, which is why they're discussing the possibility of rate hikes if it sticks. So it's not like they're asleep at the wheel. They're actively wrestling with whether their current approach is enough. Yeah. The Treasury Fed dynamic you're touching on is real, but I'd push back slightly. The Fed's constraints aren't just about protecting themselves. They're genuinely trying to thread a needle between fighting inflation without tanking employment, which is actually their dual mandate.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, good points. I'll go with that, I guess. I don't know. I think that's the way, at least in theory, that's the way it's supposed to go. Yeah, you're saying all the right things there. But of course, keep in mind, the Feds control the internet. I don't know if they do or not. That's I don't trust the Federal Reserve that much. I guess I don't put as much faith in them as what probably the internet is told to do. But we're just going to leave it at that, I guess, for now. I have what I was going to tell. Oh, I know what it was. By the way, Shabbat Shalom. I have There's a song I was going to play. Now, I hope I can find this because I was struggling with where it was at. I was trying to find... Oh, here we go. I think I might have just found the location here. The problem with this particular computer is it's way down on hard drive space. I've got an external hard drive on it, but it doesn't like to use that for some reason. I don't know what's going on with that. That's not it. Where'd it go? We have, singles in process. Where'd it go? Not that one. Singles for release. Looks goodness. No, I don't know. What happened to this song? I was going to play this. It has not been released on Apple, iTunes, or anything else yet. Where did it go? Wow. It is not here. I'm sorry for the delay here, but it's... I don't know what happened to it. That's pretty odd, actually. My songs, don't know where it went. Huh. Radio versions. Song sheets. No. Song radio. No. Special projects. Unleashed audio. Origination. The song is called Teach My Heart to See. And I know that this, here it is. Maybe this is, it's not exactly where I wanted to, play it from, because I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure if this is exactly the final one. I'm going to play this, you know, I spend a lot of time in airports. I spend a lot of time walking around. I'm playing this because it's Friday. Again, this is a pre-release. You're hearing this song for the first time out there on the interwebs. And we'll see how this goes. this is me, by the way. When I play this, I've played it before small groups and stuff a few times. I've never played it. It's not on iTunes yet. It's going to be, there's going to be a whole story about this. I finally have a control of my artist channel on YouTube, official artist channel, OAC, they call it, on YouTube. And so I'm going to be able to tell the story of creating the song and the whole thing about what it's all about. I'll tell you the story right now. I spent a lot of time walking around in, airports. And, you know, I'm kind of a people watcher, I guess. Maybe it's just kind of a natural thing. You start to wonder about, how is God working in that person's life? You see somebody and you wonder what's going on with them. And it's like, over time you start realizing, God is working on everybody's life. He's doing something with everybody. You know, we talked about this yesterday a little bit. And I was going to play the song yesterday. And I totally forgot I was going to play it at the end of the show. That's why I'm playing it today. As we go into the weekend, so many times we're numb and unaware of what's going on around us and what God is doing in the individual lives. He's trying to speak to everybody. And, this song, I guess, is what, I'd like to make a video about this, but it's one of those things where, what is he doing around me? I want to be able to know what my place is, how I can be a blessing to the people who are around me. If I'm supposed to step in I don't want to just step in when I don't need to step in. But I don't want to not step in when I'm supposed to. For instance, here's a story. I always talk about this. I always step into the weirdest places. And God uses me in ways I probably don't even know, which is fine. I probably just take credit for it. There have been so many situations where I've just stepped in and kind of made some kind of crazy statement or said something and didn't realize at the time that I was actually stepping right on the issue that was there. I just like poke my head in the door and say, hey, blah, 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 say something and, you know, find out later that what was going on in that room, that was the thing that needed to be. I didn't say it because God was telling me anything. I was just being myself, just doing my stupid thing. And it all of a sudden realized I just kind of stepped all over that situation. I mean, I've only known of a few times that that's ever happened in my life. Probably has happened a lot more than I'm aware of, and probably I don't need to be aware of it. But and here's an example. This guy's telling this story. I just recently heard this. This guy's telling this story about how he was, I guess he worked at this church or something, and the name of the church, of course, this was back when they had just caller ID was a thing, but the people with cell phones wasn't. It was kind of rare, but they still had caller ID. So, and he made a phone call. He's trying to call his wife, and he couldn't get a hold of her. And he called her twice, in fact, and thought because he thought he misdialed or something. He called her again. And she didn't answer. Well, then, the next day or a couple days later, a few days later, he gets a phone call. And this guy says, why did you call me? And he said, apparently I just dialed the wrong number. He says, I apologize. I'm sorry I dialed the wrong number. I didn't mean to call you at that moment. I just accidentally called you. Well, the name of the church, I think it was like Almighty God's of Salvation or something, or Almighty God's Methodist Church, whatever it was. I don't know what kind of denomination it was or anything. Well, apparently it showed up on this guy's caller ID, and all it said was Almighty God when it rang. And so what happened was this guy was about to commit suicide. And he gets, you know, the last thing he says to himself before he does the act is, you know, God, if you don't give me a sign, I'm just going to, I need some kind of a sign that you even care about me at all. It's just something to that effect. And he gets this phone call, looks at his phone, and it says, Almighty God calling. And the first time he hung up, and it rang again. And as he went to pick it up, it was dead on the other end of the line. It wasn't anybody on the other end of the line. He wasn't sure what had happened. He was kind of delirious. I think he had drank himself into a stupor. He was kind of getting ready to do this thing. And a couple days later, after he kind of fully recovered and realized what had happened and realized that that changed his whole course of life in that hour, he realized that, you know, I can call that number back. So he called the number back and found it was the church. And then come to find out, it was just some crazy mistake that the guy made. But it saved someone's life. That's kind of sums up how God uses me, I guess. I just do stupid things, and somehow God uses that. I don't know. And I don't even want to know half the time how he uses that. But it's probably not. Anyway, I have, again, I would probably just take credit for it and try to. I have, where was I going to, I need to push this button and find, there we go. There it is. All right, that's what I'm gonna, just kind of missed, I was lost something there for a second. Anyway, that's all I got to say. The, I'm going to stop this. I got to stop that thing because it's getting in my way. There we go, put that over there. All right, that's better. All right, I have, I'm going to play this one last thing here. I think that the phone still works. I don't know for sure. I'm going to play this and see if it... You can try calling the next... Oh, that's loud. That's not what I wanted to play. That's not what I played at all. I didn't want to play that. I wanted to play this. I'm going to play this thing. There you go. Oh, yeah.
Five, seven, four. But wait, there's more. 6-5-1. We're almost done. 7-6-85. Text that number. It's alive. Text that number. Call that number. Don't be a loser.
Yeah. I don't know if that number still works or not. It's by the way, it's still in the show notes as well, if you want to look it up. But you can call or text that number anytime you want. It's a Google Voice number. I'm not sure if it works. I haven't checked it for recently. I usually just get a lot of spam. So if you do text or call that number, just make sure you, or if you know my personal number, feel free to call that too. There's people out there who listen and know me personally. You can just do that. In the meantime, what else we got going on? I guess that's about all we got going on. It is Friday, and we're going to be coming back on Monday morning. Still should be a show. I've got a possibility. Might be on the boat on Sunday night, so the show might be coming to you from the boat on Monday morning. However, we got to get back, get the dogs, and then go camping. Well, I've got to get the camper going and get it out of there. In fact, I need to get that ready to go before we even leave. It's got to be ready. We're leaving tomorrow to go to the boat. So, got a few things to do today. Got to go to the tax guy. Got to do all kinds of other things. Anyway, that's about all I got to say about that. We have coming up next week, Monday. Well, I'm going to be camping all week next week, so I'm probably going to try to do the show from the camper. It should be interesting. Hopefully, I got decent internet down there. That's probably work. I'll take my little kit along with me so I can do all that stuff. In the meantime, God bless. Hope you have a great weekend. Shabbat Shalom. And we'll have, we'll just be back with you next week with all the good stuff. In the meantime, see ya.